Welcome to Crossroads. The Chinese Communist Party has folded on its fentanyl production. Now look, the CCP has now agreed to, at least to an extent, control and restrict the production of key ingredients used to manufacture the deadly drug fentanyl. Now, this could cut the supply of the drug heading to the United States. But look, for the CCP, this move is just the very tip of the iceberg. The regime controls not just the market of, you know, key ingredients for illicit drugs throughout Latin America and the United States, but also criminal organizations with ties to the CCP. They handle the money laundering for the drug cartels. And notably, the overall drug war is rooted in a Mao-era program of the Chinese Communist Party to wage war against the United States through other means. This move by the CCP, though the recent ones, this aims to restrict the precursor chemicals, and it was actually announced by an NSC spokesperson's statement from the White House. Here's what they had to say. They said the People's Republic of China, PRC, announced that they will begin scheduling three essential precursor chemicals used to manufacture illicit fentanyl, thereby subjecting these chemicals to additional regulation and control, a valuable step forward. They state this marks the third significant scheduling action by the PRC since President Biden met with President Xi and resumed bilateral counter-narcotics cooperation with the PRC in November of 2023. Now, look, of course, this is a good thing, at least, you know, this part of it. According to provisional data from the CDC's National Center for Health Statistics, there were an estimated 74,700,000 deaths from synthetic opioids, which includes fentanyl, by the way, in the United States just in 2023. And let that sink in. More Americans are being killed by these Chinese, you know, heavily Chinese drugs every year than have died in some of the major wars. This is killing young Americans and young people in this country faster than a war would. And if you understand this as a type of warfare, this is more effective than waging direct war. Now look, if they're starting to restrict the precursor chemicals to fentanyl, and you know, by that, you know, restricting the flow of fentanyl by extension, that's great. But fentanyl is not the only drug that comes out from China. As they note, when they include, you know, the more than 74,000 deaths every year of Americans dying from these drugs, fentanyl is one of them. It's not all of them. Precursor chemicals from many other drugs, well, they come from China also. Fentanyl also isn't the only synthetic drug of its kind. The problem with drugs like this, with fentanyl and other things, is that you can change one small part in the chemical makeup and you have a new drug. You have a new drug that's not only in existence and sometimes even stronger or worse, but it's also unregulated because they regulate it based on the chemical composition. Now, on the other side of this, the fact that they're going after the ingredients and not just the surface drug, that could be a way to help stem the flow of this. But the problem you have with a lot of these ingredients is some of them are kind of like dual use. They go into other things. And so you can't fully restrict them in many cases. Now, this is also a global issue, and this is also where it gets important, because the CCP running a lot of these drug operations, again, the precursors, the synthetic drugs, the money laundering, and even some of the international ties that facilitate this whole thing, they can just manufacture them somewhere else. And the machine behind this keeps running. The Chinese Communist Party, notably, they are deeply intertwined with the market for drugs of all types. Epoch Times noted this. They said Italian authorities have seized more than 6 tons of raw chemical materials shipped from China, which police believe could have been used to manufacture enough illicit narcotics to flood the European market. And so, Chinese companies sending these chemicals not to America, sending them to Europe, in Italy in this case, used to manufacture enough drugs potentially for all of Europe. Now, they know Italian authorities announced on July 1st the seizure of 6.9 tons of chemicals from China, allegedly intended for the production of MDMA, a synthetic substance commonly known as ecstasy or Molly, with an estimated value of more than 630 million euros, or about $678 million. that the seizure could have produced more than 63 million ecstasy pills. And they say that, quote, that's a quantity capable of flooding the European synthetic drug market, according to Italy's Guardia di Finanza, a law enforcement agency that reports to the finance ministry in a statement, right? Now, on this as well, there's more to this. The discussions on counter-narcotic operations are also opening up the CCP, you know, to kind of being the middleman in terms of trying to manage this crisis. And so you're going to the mafia, in other words, and you're saying, hey, Don, you know, how can we fix this whole drug crisis? And he says, well, let me handle it, but I need something in return. He's the one running the operation. He's the mastermind behind it. But he's also the one doing the, you know, the surface operations, at least, pretending like they're trying to stop it. You're going to the criminal to stop the crime. The reality is that the drug trade has a long history in China. This goes back to Mao Zedong. He modeled this as a new way to undermine the United States, modeled notably after the British Opium War that helped destroy the last dynasty of China. Now, this goes back, of course, to the early days of the Chinese Communist Party. They needed money. They needed to tear down the United States. Drugs gave them both. Drugs created a massive market. Understand that when it comes to a lot of these regimes, communist regimes especially, they don't just try to control legitimate markets, they try to control illegitimate markets as well. You control the surface world, right? The normal businesses that a lot of you and I know, but they also try to control the criminal world. The world of extortion, the world of smuggling, the world of drugs, prostitution, slavery, organ trade, everything. The entire criminal world is a multi-billion dollar massive, well, more than that, massive market with businesses as large as the surface world economies. And you have entire countries that work in illicit markets. North Korea, for example, the Chinese Communist Party playing both sides of it. Now, in terms of making money, this is beneficial to them on a few different levels. Not only does the Chinese Communist Party make a ridiculous amount of money by helping facilitate the drug trade, you know, just one example of this type of crime, but it also allows them to gain influence over criminal networks who can be used as kind of a fifth column within other countries, who establish notably smuggling channels that can be used for other purposes in the event of a war, and also give them access to networks connected to them. The criminal underbelly of every country that can be used for assassination, extortion, anything they want, kidnappings, you name it. And so for the Chinese Communist Party, this is strategic on a few different levels. Now, when Mao Zedong started these operations, he mainly focused on opium. They called it people's opium, mostly for, of course, black tar, heroin, and things like that. And what they did was they went to Cuba, and they used Cuba as the go-between to establish drug trade operations throughout all of Latin America, targeted at the United States. Later on, that turned mainly into cocaine, especially in the 1970s and so on. Now look, the Chinese Communist Party, they also don't just control fentanyl. Chinese businesses, they supply other chemicals and other drugs. You know, Chinese organized crime, they do the money laundering as well for the cartels. A lot of that goes through casinos, and a lot of that goes notably through Canada. The Chinese Communist Party has also historically worked with governments in countries throughout Latin America, Cuba being one of the main ones, but also others. You know, Venezuela, they have huge ties. Colombia, huge ties. Mexico, a lot of ties mainly with the cartels. And they use these ties to help facilitate the drug trade as a profitable weapon against the United States. It kills more Americans every year than a major war would. Now, the U.S. government is also now going after the Chinese individuals who notably do the money laundering operations for the Mexican cartels. Those of you who watch Crossroads for a while know that we've talked about this quite a bit. The U.S. government is actually going after it now. The U.S. Treasury Department said this. They said today the U.S. Department of Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control sanctioned a Mexico-based money launderer and China-based members of a money laundering organization with criminal links to the Sinaloa cartel as part of ongoing efforts to disrupt the flow of illicit narcotics into the United States. They say this action is the result of the U.S. government's ongoing efforts in cooperation with the Mexican government to disrupt the trafficking of fentanyl and save lives, a priority under the president's unity agenda. They say that today's action furthers efforts by the Treasury's counter-fentanyl strike force, which leverages Treasury's unique expertise and capabilities to disrupt the illicit financial networks relied upon by the cartels. Now, here's what gets interesting. This report not only lays out the operation going against the Mexican cartels, tied in with Chinese criminal organizations doing the money laundering, but they actually have some more details on the money laundering organizations run out of the CCP. They call these Chinese money laundering organizations, CMLOs. And they say, quote, as described in Treasury's 2024 National Money Laundering Risk Assessment, CMLOs are now one of the key actors laundering money professionally in the United States and worldwide, and are rapidly becoming one of the most prominent money laundering threat actors facing the U.S. financial system. Drug trafficking organizations, such as the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico, have increasingly partnered with CMLOs to launder funds. Again, Chinese money launderers. And they note that individuals working for these Chinese money launderers pick up bulk cash generated from the sale of illicit drugs in the United States, then work to move a corresponding amount of funds abroad, often to Mexico. They do it in Canada as well. They note this provides U.S. dollars to PRC nationals, Chinese nationals, of course, seeking to overcome currency controls because it's tied in with the CCP. And they note, in addition to violating federal law in the United States and Mexico, CMLOs also violate currency controls imposed by the PRC. They technically violate Chinese law, even though the CCP uses them and works with them, and many of them are also tied in with the CCP's networks. You know, look, one thing I have personally uncovered in my own investigations over the years, looking into these types of operations, is the overlap of the Chinese Communist Party's spy operations and operations of organized criminal groups. I'll be talking more about this when we get back from a quick break.
Experts agree one of the best ways to protect against financial uncertainty is to diversify your portfolio. Learn how physical gold and silver can secure your retirement funds from today's economic challenges with a gold IRA from American Hartford Gold. You can safeguard your wealth with no penalties or taxes when you transfer your current qualifying retirement accounts. Call now and our precious metals specialists will send you a free information kit, no cost or obligation. American Hartford Gold, a trusted industry leader with an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau, has a 5-star rating from thousands of happy clients. Whether you are getting physical precious metals in a gold IRA or delivered to your doorstep, we offer only the highest quality gold and silver. For your peace of mind, we also offer a no-fee buyback commitment, a low-price guarantee, along with free shipping and free insurance. So, don't wait. Call the number on your screen today and secure your financial future.
Welcome back. The Chinese Communist Party has allegedly agreed to control and restrict the production of key ingredients used to manufacture the deadly drug fentanyl. Now, this could cut the supply of the drug to the United States. But for the Chinese Communist Party, this move is just the very tip of a very, very large iceberg. The regime controls not just the market of key ingredients for illicit drugs throughout Latin America and into the United States. Criminal organizations with ties to the CCP, they also do the money laundering for the drug cartels. Now, one thing that I have personally found investigating the CCP's networks of spies and front organizations and otherwise, is that there is a very large overlap of CCP spy operations and the operations of organized criminal groups. Now, this also came to the forefront recently with the prosecution of Wei Qingtao, a public figure in Chinese organized crime who was just recently purged. The Washington Post notes this. They say, for the scion of a crime family linked to human trafficking and enslavement, money laundering, and global cyber scams, Wei Qingtao was brazenly public. They note that on TikTok, you know, the Chinese version of it, Diaoyin, he was having this kind of, you know, extravagant lifestyle, showing off his wealth, and he wasn't trying to be private about it. But they note that in November, this all changed. His social media presence went away, and then he appeared, notably, reading a scripted confession while in Chinese custody. And Wei said this, "The money we made from cyber scams comes from the pensions of everyday Chinese people." He said, "This time the Chinese government has made up its mind. We must not cling to any illusions." And notes that within weeks, his uncle was in cuffs and on a plane to China, flanked by dozens of police officers. They note the detention of Wei and at least 15 other alleged senior crime family members and their associates, notably a Chinese mafia, they call them triads, was lavishly covered by Chinese media, designed to showcase Beijing's reach, right? They say this is proof, according to Chinese officials, of their determination to crush transnational criminals, victimizing their citizens no matter where they are based. Now, they say this, that workers, mostly Chinese nationals or ethnic Chinese, were bought, sold, and traded, and then beaten, tortured, or killed when they didn't reach financial targets or tried to escape. Now, they note that, of course, this has come out in some of these financial records and criminal records. This group was involved in illegal gambling, human trafficking, narcotics, but they also ran legitimate operations. Again, the legitimate economies and the illegitimate economies. But most interesting, this criminal organization also worked directly with the Chinese Communist Party. Now, they note the Kokang families, again, this particular Chinese organized crime group, ran both legitimate and illicit businesses, often from the same property. And notes they were useful partners and guarantors of stability as Chinese leader Xi Jinping pursued his massive Belt and Road Initiative. Now, this group, in other words, was tied in with operations outside of China that the CCP was using to help establish its Belt and Road projects. They note that being Han Chinese, the families within these criminal groups set up companies in China and obtained identity papers usually reserved for Chinese nationals, corporate records show. Now, I've personally been reporting on these types of operations for years, but the issue is finally getting, you know, broader attention. Finally. The Chinese Communist Party works directly with the triads, criminal organizations that do human trafficking, slave operations, prostitution, you know, you name it, and also the drug operations. Here's how it typically works. You have what are called tongs, fraternal organizations that exist all around the country, in the United States, all around the world, in any kind of Chinese neighborhoods. The tongs are typically what make a Chinatown. They're the groups that do the human trafficking operations. They're the groups you go to if you need something done. They kind of work like guilds or unions or family associations, things like that. But they're the ones who typically, at least historically, run the Chinatowns. Now, the tongs, aside from having legitimate operations, community outreach, maybe cleaning up the community programs, they will have operations where they make friends with all the local politicians, all the local businessmen. They play kind of the leading role in the communities. But operating within many of them are the triads, the criminal organizations, and they run all the other side of it, right? There's the legitimate and the illegitimate. The Chinese Communist Party has two branches of its government that targets these. One is the United Front Work Department, the other is the Overseas Chinese Affairs Office. These work directly with the Chinese Communist Party's political warfare departments of its military. And they do what's called liaison work, where they use these government branches to establish relationships with the tongs. And once they get the tongs working with the CCP, they control not just the legitimate operations and all those business connections, all those political connections, all those media connections, but they also run the illegitimate operations, the drug trade, the human trafficking, and everything else. And so through this, the CCP uses this to extend its reach into other countries, and it will try to control both the legitimate and illegitimate economies within the country. This is how the CCP works. Now, notably, Rand also did a report recently on the role the CCP plays in the global drug trade. They said this. They said the production, distribution, and use of illegally manufactured fentanyl should be thought of as an ecosystem. And the People's Republic of China, the PRC, or the Chinese Communist Party, is at the beginning of the fentanyl global supply chain in this ecosystem. Rand found this, it said, in its research and analysis for the Commission of Combating Synthetic Opioid Trafficking, that the PRC, China, the Chinese Communist Party, produces and distributes the vast majority of the precursor chemicals used in illegal fentanyl production. It's not even just fentanyl, notably, it's all the synthetic drugs and even things like, for example, methamphetamine. Now, they note further in that Mexican transnational criminal organizations, the cartels, have made tens of millions of dollars of cryptocurrency payments to Chinese chemical producers for fentanyl precursors. They work with the cartels on the supplies, they work with the cartels on the laundering, they work with the cartels on the global drug trade. They note that while the size of the retail fentanyl market is unknown because of lack of data, it is likely that it equates to potentially billions of dollars of illegal fentanyl entering the United States. Now, look, of course, it's not just Chinese money launderers working in China, right? It's also Chinese gangs that have begun operating in and around the United States. This isn't just within China, it's outside China as well. But the CCP plays a key role with all of this. And Chinese gangs, they've notably been playing major roles as well with these cartels. NBC News said this, "For much of his career as a federal drug agent, Ray Donovan had a singular focus, the capture of Mexican cartel boss Joaquin El Chapo Guzman." And it's that when Guzman was finally arrested in early 2014, fentanyl trafficking was on the rise in the U.S., and Donovan soon found his next project. "What Donovan's team was first to recognize," it says, "has national security implications," experts say. "Over the past decade, Chinese organized crime groups in the U.S. quietly became the dominant money launderers for Mexican cartels. Then they used the profits to take over the illicit marijuana trade." And it's the parallel schemes enriched and empowered Chinese criminal groups at a time when marijuana laws were loosening and Mexican cartels were flooding the country with fentanyl. With U.S. law enforcement agencies focused on busting fentanyl traffickers and suppliers, the Chinese money brokers and marijuana producers operated with relative impunity, according to more than half a dozen retired senior DEA agents. Now, what's important to note? These criminal gangs, these Chinese ones, they're not just normal criminal groups. The Chinese triads are not just your normal gangs. They have legitimate and illegitimate operations, but most importantly, they have direct ties oftentimes to the Chinese Communist Party. And the Chinese Communist Party uses them for a lot of its own purposes. Now, look, in my own research, I've exposed how CCP front organizations are intertwined with the triads. Again, Chinese organized crime. The CCP is deeply tied in with these networks and sometimes even runs them. This has to do with, again, the United Front and how it works with tongs. And in some countries, the CCP uses them even more directly. In Taiwan, for example, the CCP uses some of the triads to attack dissidents, to go into protest areas and beat people up. This has been shown even in media reports. But what's also important to note, the CCP, you know, working with the United States to an extent to stop the flow of drugs, the Chinese Communist Party could do a whole lot more than this, and they're not. Drugs for them are a weapon. They're a cultural weapon. They're something used to kill off the youth of a country. But they're also a diplomatic weapon. Now, Wall Street Journal says this. They say, "We are seeing some meaningful steps," a senior Biden administration official said. "There's a lot more to do, but we are encouraged particularly by the actions of the last couple weeks. Those measures alone won't solve the fentanyl crisis. The U.S. officials are continuing to press China to do much more. But the steps by Beijing, the CCP, together with a string of high-level meetings, are beginning to show that diplomacy between rival superpowers can still make an impact despite strained ties." It says the U.S. government estimates more than 107,000 people nationally died of drug overdoses last year, including around 75,000 from synthetic opioids such as fentanyl. Now, what's being missed in most of the reporting going around is the full picture, how the CCP itself is involved in the drug trade. Again, you're going to the mafia to ask them to stop the crime. You're going to the criminal to ask them to stop the crime. They'll stop it a bit, but they're still going to run it, and they're going to try to trick you into it, thinking they're doing something about it, but they're not going to get rid of all of it. The Chinese Communist Party plays a role in this, and actually it's now just starting to be recognized. Foreign Policy notes this. They see a mixture of unintended consequences and indifference has left China playing a significant role in America's fentanyl crisis. This has become a point of heated contention between Beijing and Washington. U.S. politicians accused China of deliberately stoking the U.S. drug crisis. China responds that it has done its part in the United States' scapegoating. But the actual story of Chinese regulation is far more complex and messy, and shows how powerful the profit motive is and how regulatory effects can have unintended consequences. The Chinese government regulates the production and distribution of fentanyl and its precursor chemicals, but stopping the trade is a challenge. They say policies aimed at boosting China's chemical and pharmaceutical development and exports have instead created a vast cottage industry of hundreds of thousands of small chemical plants and active pharmaceutical ingredient manufacturers. And with it, a vast money laundering industry that takes advantage of the advanced real-time settlement capabilities of China's banking system. The CCP enables and supplies this entire thing. They note as well, the Chinese government tightly regulates the manufacture of narcotic drugs and closely monitors the distribution as bulk APIs and finished dosage forms. As of December 2023, just two companies had licenses to produce and sell three fentanyl-related APIs, fentanyl and a couple others. In total, only seven companies had licenses to sell fentanyl-related medical products in finished dosage form. Hebei-based Yichang Humanwell Pharmaceuticals is the dominant player in the industry with $292 million in fentanyl-related domestic sales in 2022. Now look, the reporting in Western media overall, in my opinion at least, they don't seem to understand the full situation. To understand this, you need to get the connection between Chinese organized crime and the CCP's united front. And overall, how the Chinese Communist Party works with criminal organizations through these connections. You also need to understand the Opium War and how Mao Zedong recognized its strategic use. And then Mao Zedong, when he was in power, helped create the operations globally as a type of weapon against the United States using drugs and using notably Cuba as their proxy. It's also important to understand how drug warfare fits in with the CCP's overall system of drug, unrestricted war. This is actually written in the unrestricted warfare concept, drug warfare. The CCP regards this as a tool to wage war against the United States through other means. All the circumstantial evidence is now being shown. The CCP's involvement with the precursors, the CCP's involvement with the drug companies, the CCP's involvement with the cartels, the CCP's involvement with money launderers, the CCP's involvement with the banks, how the entire thing is tied with the CCP. But what is missing is that the CCP is doing this intentionally. It's not just doing it by accident. It's recognized that they have the power to stop it, but it's not being recognized that the CCP is doing this as a written, documented form of war against the United States. Well, everyone, that's all for today. Thank you so much for joining me. Let me know what you think in the comments about the CCP's drug war operations. Also, please don't forget to share this episode. Help us get the word out. And as always, please take care of yourselves, stay informed, and stay free. Thank you.